you, as all of us, have to make choices in your life every day as well. So it should work out well. This morning, we start a new sermon series. It's 5 weeks. It goes through the month of May. And so we're going to be looking at five different accounts. And the title of this series is called Choices. And choices is something that, you know, unlike some sermons where you may hear a sermon and maybe that one sermon particularly hits you hard and you meet me at the door and you say, "Were you talking to me?" And I've heard that before, and I'm sure Pastor Jeff has heard that as well, because that's just the way it works. Sometimes a sermon hits you right where it should and hits me right there, and so there's other times that maybe it just doesn't do that much for you, and the next one does. But the difference with this series is that all 5 weeks is going to be for every single person in this room, especially those Christ followers, because every one of us have to make choices every day of our life. So that's something that we can't escape. We're just going to have to do that. And so it's pertinent to all of us. You know, these choices are what I call defining moments in our life, maybe a point of decision in our life or a crossroads in our life, whatever you choose to call it, all has the same kind of thing. It's going to happen. One way or another, we're going to have choices to make every day, and we're going to have to make those choices. You had a choice this morning, whether you wanted to get up and whether you wanted to come to church. Well, it looks like you all made that decision, and you're all here. So we're grateful that you're here. But it's a choice that you have to make every week. Every day, you have to decide whether you're going to get up and go to work or whether you're not, or whether you're going to get up and do whatever it is that day's calling you to do. So choices are there. We can't escape them. And the bottom line is the choice is yours, and it's mine. But the fact remains that when we make these choices, there's also going to be consequences to our choices. Choices come that way. Because you see, sometimes we make good choices, and sometimes we make bad choices. And with those choices come consequences, good or bad. And they kind of follow us for the rest of our life. And the good news is, though, for all of us Christ followers, is that no matter what choice we've made, if it's a bad choice, and we confess that to God as a bad choice, He tells us He will forgive us for that. And so that's a promise for all of us. That's the good news this morning, because it kind of helps us deal with the fact that we are all guilty, so to speak, in making those kind of choices once in a while that maybe God would not have suggested that we do, but we know that God will forgive us. And I believe that most of us want to make good choices or good decisions. I think if we sat out and looked in the future, we said, okay, we're going to do this 2 weeks from now, and we're going to try to decide whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. We're going to pray about it. We're going to do some things to try to make sure it's a good choice, that probably in that instance we would have a tendency to make better choices. But unfortunately, the way Satan works is that the choice hits you all of a sudden. All of a sudden in life, you're standing there, and there's a choice that you have to make, and Satan is in one ear telling you what he thinks you should do, and then you're based upon your faith. God is in the other ear telling you what you should do, and now you're faced with this decision of, what am I going to do? Who am I going to follow? And I believe that most of us want to make those good decisions, but we don't always do it. Well, this series that we're going to talk about, we're going to go over five different people or groups of people and decisions that they had to make, all coming from the book of Genesis. So we're going to really be looking at the book of Genesis for the next 5 weeks. And that's good and interesting for us, because we've really never tackled the book of Genesis too much. And so it's something that, again, is pertinent to all of us, and we're going to go through that. We're going to take a look at, obviously, Adam and Eve today and the choice that they made, and that's probably one of the most popular ones that we know about. But we're also going to look in the following weeks at Cain and his decision with his brother Abel. We're going to look at Noah and his decision to build an ark. We're going to look at Abraham and his decision to offer his son. And then finally with Joseph and his brothers and the decisions that they had to make. And we're going to take a look at all their decisions, and then we're also going to match those up with the consequences that came after those decisions. So the question here this morning for each of us is, how do we do a better job of making decisions? Now that we all realize, and I'm sure that if every one of you were honest with yourself this morning and you said, have I ever made any bad decisions? Anybody not made any bad decisions in their life? Because if you raise your hand, that's your first one, because you lied. Trick question. But here's what Scripture says about making choices. This is what Scripture tells us we can do to help us make better choices, some guidelines that we can follow. And again, you have a choice in this. You can hear these guidelines, you could apply these guidelines to your life, or you can just blow them off and forget it and go on making decisions the way you've always done it. That's a choice that you have to make. The choice is yours. But I hope you make the right choice, and I hope you can follow God's guidelines. These aren't mine. This didn't come off of Oprah show or anything else. These are God's guidelines. Let's take a look at the first one. First one says, begin with prayer. And that comes in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And here's what it says. Rejoice always. And then it goes on to the key part of this statement. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That means that as we go throughout our day, we are in prayer. It doesn't mean that as you pray in the morning, if that's when your prayer time is, you get up and you go through your litany of requests or whatever it is and how you formatted your prayer time, and then you go on with your day. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe the time is at night for you, or maybe in the afternoon, or maybe it doesn't really matter when. But you have a specific time of day in which you spend time in prayer. That is good. But what this passage is saying is pray without ceasing. And what that means is that you continue to pray all throughout the day. May not be the same way or the same length of time, but if you have a decision to make and it's important, or you need help and you need God's guideline and God's help as you try to do something right, you know, in your job or at home or with your children, you pray that God will give you wisdom. Pray that for God to help you through this situation. So pray without ceasing. Secondly, you ask for wisdom when we pray. This is part of our prayer life. We should be asking God for wisdom. In James 1:5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So again, we are asking God for wisdom as we pray, so that we can pray appropriately, so that we can pray in a way that's meaningful to God and meaningful to us. Third, it says to seek biblical wisdom. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And so when you read this passage, you understand that God's word is what we need to know, because it is going to guide our every step. We need to know God's word. And we're going to hear in just a minute how the fact that Eve really didn't know what God was saying, and that got her into trouble. And that can also get us into trouble. So when we are seeking biblical wisdom, I'm not talking about wisdom of the world. I'm not talking about Dr. Phil kind of wisdom, or, you know, anything like that, or even wisdom of our current culture. I'm talking about biblical wisdom. See, we need to know what God's word has to say about things in order for us to make the right choices. Because if we're basing it on the world, we're in trouble. The next thing, number four, is we seek godly counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. But there's a warning I have attached to this, and it's like, buyers, beware. When you read this passage and you understand we're supposed to seek godly counsel, but the question is godly counsel, not just any counsel. Because, see, you can ask your friends, or you could ask other non-believers and people who don't really follow the Word of God, or who they make their decisions based upon watching Dr. Phil, or things like that. And I don't mean to be picking on Dr. Phil, but I'm just using that as an example. We can look at the world for the answers to our problems or the answers to the decisions we need to make, and that's not where we should be looking. So when we seek counsel, we should be seeking godly counsel. And that doesn't have to mean a pastor or a minister. It could be anybody that can give you godly counsel, anyone who knows the Word of God, because that's what you want to know. You want to know what God thinks about this choice you have to make. That's what's important. And then the fifth is to trust in the Lord with your decision. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. You see, we need to put our faith and our trust in God, not in us. Because in and of ourselves, we are weak, we are humans, and we make mistakes. So the trust that we're looking for is the trust in God. That's where we put our faith and our trust. And then finally, at the end of that, number six, you give praise to God for your success. When you've made a successful choice, one in which you have prayed about, one in which you have asked for wisdom and seeked counsel and looked at the Bible, and you feel good about those things, and you trust that this is the right answer, and you go forward, and it is the right answer, and God blesses you in that, give him praise and celebrate that. John 3:27 says, a man can receive only what is given from him from heaven. So for all of us, we have to remember that all things are in God's control. Every breath we take, every day we live, every decision we make, and every consequence we face. He is the giver of all things, including life itself. And our choices should be about God's will, not ours. See, we can get so hung up on making a decision that's good for me, even though it might not be good for God. God has given Adam clear instructions to what to eat and not to eat in the garden. Adam shared those instructions with Eve, and he gave her the instructions that God passed on to him. Yet they chose to go against what God had instructed. As we look at the situation that Adam and Eve found themselves in, it helps us to understand this question that we may ask today in 2015 after reading this account in Genesis that we're going to look at in a minute. How did we get from paradise to where we are now? You ever ask that? Things were so good in the garden. How did we get from there to what we live in today? You see, we live in a world that's a mess. And the question is, how did we mess it up so bad? Well, we messed it up bad by making poor choices. And more specifically, Adam and Eve made a poor choice, and that brought sin into the world. So even though God declared his creations very good, in which he did, and Adam and Eve in those early days found themselves in a place with no crime, he found themselves in a place with no poverty, no sickness, and no death. There were also no broken homes, no latchkey children, no abusive husbands, no drug pushers, no murderers, and no child molesters. What a place. Paradise. And all that God created was pure and perfect. And there was true peace and tranquility all around them. That pretty well describes the Garden of Eden. They were truly in paradise. And today we find ourselves in altogether different circumstances, don't we? In a world that all those things that I just mentioned exist and more. And that's the thing, that's what causes that question, how did we get from there to here? And that's because of the decision that Adam and Eve made. So let's take a look at this God's conversation that he had with Adam in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Pretty clear. Hard to see how they got confused in that. Pretty clear message. Here's what he told Adam. He said, take care of the garden. That was his job. He said, eat from anything you want here except for that one tree. Don't touch that one, or don't eat from that one. And he says, and if you do, you're going to die. I don't know how much clearer that message could have been. But yet, when Satan enters the picture, things tend to get blurry. Then we go on and we look at Genesis 3:1-7, and that's the account that we're going to be looking at this morning. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, said Satan, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to her eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then she also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. That's the account. And I can imagine that whole situation probably only took a matter of minutes. It's talked about here in 7 verses in the Bible, and the Bible is 66 books long. So one little bitty point of time And one decision affected everybody. Satan asked the question, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And Eve answered and said that they could eat from all the trees except the one in the middle of the garden. So she heard that message. She also added that they were not to even touch it, even though that is not what God said. You see, somehow or another, the interpretation of that got mixed up. God told Adam not to eat from that one tree. He didn't say anything about touching it. When Eve talked to the serpent, she added that line in. You see, she didn't know what God said. She wasn't there. And she wasn't clear on what God said, so she added her own part to it. Satan tells her that they would not surely die. He's already trying to convince her that God's not serious. He wouldn't kill you over this. You wouldn't die over this. Sin wouldn't enter the world over this. It's not that big a deal. It's just a tree. It's just a fruit, in which we don't even know if it was an apple. That clear that story up. It probably wasn't an apple. But I'm sure it was fruit, and that's why I've never liked fruit. So here we are. She finds that one tree. You know, you can eat anything you want. Well, but I want that one tree. Well, you can't eat that tree. Well, I want that tree. Does that sound familiar? Do we ever do that? She finds that one tree and she eats it, and she also gets her husband to come along with her and do the same thing. And life has never been the same for anyone since. Period. You talk about a bad choice. That was a bad choice. Here's how Paul states it in the book of Romans. He says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. So as we summarize that passage there, we understand that Adam had a clear message. He gave that message to Eve. She had a clear message. And yet, she listened to the lies of Satan. She let Satan talk her into doing something that wasn't right. And she made a bad choice. They both made a bad choice because he was there. And even though everything had been going and so well in paradise, why wouldn't it? I mean, the way I described it, it's a great place. Why wouldn't it be going well? And it was, until they decided to listen to the lies of Satan. And you say, well, that's terrible. That's that Adam and Eve for you. They sure messed it up. And depending on your take of it, maybe you're going to say, well, that was Eve's fault because she did it, even though Adam was there. But you're going to blame somebody in that. But the question is, how often do we do the same thing? How often do we think that we can do a better job than God with the decisions that we have to make? How often do we just make the decisions? We don't pray about them. We don't seek out godly counsel. We don't do any of those things. We just make the decision because we know best. And then we find out that probably we don't, and things didn't go well. So until they decided that they wanted to be like God and do what they wanted instead of what God told them, life was good. But once they made that decision, everything changed. When everything is going well in our life, that's when we need to beware. You know, sometimes, and some people think that when things are bad, that's when we got to watch out for Satan. Maybe when I'm not living the way I should or doing what I should. Let me tell you something. That may happen. But also, when things are going well, you need to beware. Because that's when Satan is going to come after you the hardest, when things are going good in your life. Because he doesn't want things to go good in your life. And you know, that's not just true with us sitting out here today. It's also true with the church as a whole. When a church is growing and a church is thriving and a church is looking to Christ for their direction and going in the direction that Christ would want them to go, and things are just all good, we talk about it all the time. We better be on our toes because Satan is coming after us. And he's going to come after us through problems in the church. He's going to come after us through all kinds of different ways because Satan does not want to see us do that. He doesn't bother churches or individuals that aren't doing anything for Christ. He's not worried about those guys. They're taking care of themselves. But he's worried about people who are doing good things for God. And so we need to be aware of that, that we have to watch for being under the attack of Satan. So in this account, let's look at this particular account, and we see that the first thing Satan did was question Eve's knowledge. Remember I talked about that a minute ago or so? See, she didn't really know what God said. She wasn't there. And even though Adam told her, she must not have listened because she went And she repeated that she shouldn't even touch it. And that was never in what God said. He said, don't eat it. And that's the thing. Eve wasn't present, but yet she misquoted God's word. Do we ever do that? Or do we not even know God's word? You see, if we're going to fight Satan, and we're going to fight those attacks that Satan has on us, you can guarantee that Satan knows the word of God. He knows all the word of God. He doesn't follow any of it, but he knows it. And so if you're going to get into a battle with Satan, in a conversation with Satan, you better have your facts straight, and you better know the word of God. And that's why we talk all the time about you finding ways to know the word of God better, to connect yourself either to a group or a study or at least a daily devotion time and study time of your Bible so that you know it. So when Satan approaches you, and he will, and he tries to convince you of something that's wrong, and he will, you'll have something to fight back with. You'll have that knowledge of God, and that's important. You know, other times we get to this thing, well, you know what? No one will ever know. You know, that's Satan talking in your ear. When he said, did God really say that? Well, what Satan is saying is, no one will ever know. Why not? Or why not? We'll never get caught. Or why not? No one's watching. Have you ever experienced that? Has Satan ever told you those things? You get in your life and you get to a decision that you know is wrong, but you're trying to figure out a way to get around it. And the best way Satan can do is to tell you, don't worry about that. You know, nobody's going to ever know, and you'll be good to go. These are dangerous statements, and they're the beginning steps toward a really slippery slope. But who's to blame? Us, because of the choices we make. Who was to blame here, in this account? You know, Adam blamed Eve. That's the thing to do, right? The man blames the woman. It's her fault. She made me do it. And then Eve, she says, Satan made me do it. The devil made me do it. Satan tempted her, and she's blaming Satan. So everybody has somebody they want to blame, and they both had people they want to blame. And we blame others for our sins as well. We make a choice, it goes bad, we have the consequences, and what do? We find someone to blame. You see, instead of in this particular case, Adam taking his role as the leader of their family and stepping into that conversation, or better yet, ending that conversation with Satan, he just stood by and let it happen. He watched as Eve went down that road. You know, and there's a lesson there. Never talk to a snake. Snakes in your life, you know, stomp on it and kill it. Don't talk to it. But Eve did. But the good news for all of us is, because I'm sure we're sitting out there today thinking, you know what, I've made those kind of choices. And I've suffered the consequences. But the good news, as I said earlier, is that God will forgive us when we make bad choices. But we do need to accept the blame and confess them to God, and he will be there for us. But the other side of the coin is that that we usually suffer consequences for our sins. We do. And that's just something we can't get around. We can ask God to forgive us, and he will, but we still have the consequences. These consequences can go on for a lifetime. And as we move forward, they can continue with us. Again, the choice is ours. Adam and Eve had arrived at a point of decision in their life, a crossroads, you might say. Their crossroads was, A, do they believe God, trust God, and obey him, or do they believe Satan and trust Satan? And we know the answer. They chose Satan, and they didn't choose God. And I want to just share with you for a moment just the consequences of that decision, in which we have all lived out ever since, and so I'm sure we know it. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bear children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Genesis 3:16. To Adam, God said, because you have listened to your wife's voice and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will yield thorns and thistles to you, and you will eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it is where you were taken, for you are dust, and dust you shall return. Genesis 3:17 through 19. That was the consequences of Adam and Eve's decision. And it's affected every one of us, and it will continue to affect us the rest of however long people are still on this earth. The result of Adam's sin were terrible. We know that. And not just for Adam and Eve, but for all of us. So what do we do? And how does it affect us? You know, that was Adam and Eve. That was a long time ago. Everything's changed. It's a different world. What about us? Well, here's the part for us. Here's the part that you need to and I need to think about for our own lives. This is the application part. The lesson for us today is that when God prohibits something, it is for our own good. Disobeying Him, going our own way, or deciding for ourselves what is and is not beneficial to us is always leads to disaster. Our Heavenly Father who created us knows what is best for us. And when He prohibits something, we should listen to Him. When we choose to obey our own wills instead of the perfect and holy will, things never go well for us. Adam and Eve made the sad discovery after eating the forbidden fruit, and mankind has suffered the consequences of their decision ever since. So we as believers cannot escape the crossroads of life, the points of decision, the defining moments. We're all going to have them. We're going to have them every single day. And some of our choices are going to be easy, and some of our choices are going to be hard. But even if we make the wrong choice, God still loves us just like He did Adam and Eve. And He will forgive us. But also, just like them, we have the consequences for our choices. You see, Satan will give you every reason in the book to make the wrong choice, to listen to him and not to God. He will give you every excuse to compromise your faith and your obedience to God. But when we stand before God, we will have no excuse at all. We can't blame anyone else because we made the decision. And we have to accept that. His word tells us that the wages of sin is death. And the consequences of that are clear, are clearly defined by God in His word. It's our choice. It's our choice. God made it that way. He always has given us choice. He's given us choice all along the way. An example of how things also go when it comes to Satan's lies is that one bad choice leads to another. And we have to understand that as well. A great example of that is found in the 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I suggest that this week, we're not going to read it today, but maybe you go home and read that account of King David. You see, King David was a great king, but he made bad choices. And it goes through that whole account, and you should read it. He made a bad choice. He should have been out on the battlefield with his fellow soldiers. He chose not to go. He should have turned his head and walked away when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath on the rooftop. He chose not to. And then he chose to have her brought to him. He chose, and he refused to accept blame for that at first. But instead he tried to cover it up. And when he did, at the end of the day, he had someone killed, her husband, to help cover it up. Another choice that he made. That's how one thing can lead to another. One bad decision to stay home from the battlefield, that's what it led to. It led to all kinds of other bad decisions. David was a man after God's own heart, but not even David could escape the consequences of his choices. To his credit, when David was confronted by his sin later, he confessed and repented. Did God forgive David? Sure he did. But the consequences of his choices followed him for the rest of his lives, and we are no different. They follow us as well. But we need to know also that good choices can also have good outcomes, that we can make choices that are good for us, and that God will continue to have good things happen for us because of that one choice. I shared that with you early on when I first arrived at First Church of God when I was speaking one time. But I talked about a point of decision in my life where I had to make a choice. I was working for a company, and I thought I should have got something I didn't get, and I was ready to leave. I made a choice to stay. From that decision to stay there, I met a really good guy that I became really close friends with. From there, I met another lady who was in my place of business and invited me to a church. I went to that church. I met Rick Jones there. I met all kinds of people there, but the most importantly, I met my wife there at that church. I later, with that friend, moved to Florida and spent 12 years there working for him, and I met all kinds of wonderful people while I was there. I came back here, and God led me into the ministry. I have a wonderful family. And all those things came from that one choice not to quit, to keep on. I'm nothing special because, believe me, I've made bad choices, and I've had to live with them my whole life. But that was an episode in my life where one good decision had many outcomes, and they were good, and I was blessed. So this morning, as we close this message, I want us to understand that, again, all of us face these choices. And if we follow these simple instructions that I've given you today, it'll help you and me to make better choices. Begin with prayer. Ask for wisdom when we pray. Seek biblical wisdom. Seek godly counsel. Trust in the Lord with your decision. And last of all, and importantly, give praise to God for the success. And when you make the wrong choice, accept the blame, confess your sins, and God promises to forgive us. You see, God never promised that everything would be good in our life. He never promised that every day would be joyful and that everything would turn out great. He never promised us that we wouldn't have problems or troubles. But what he did promise us is that he will never, ever leave our side and that he will help us through those struggles. And as one of your pastors, I know, because I know the looks on your faces. I've seen the looks in your faces. I've watched the tears flow from people's eyes because of the choices they've made. I know that there are people here that are hurting, and they have to make decisions. They have to make choices, or maybe they've made some already that they regret, and now they need God's forgiveness. But for those that are still out there that are thinking, well, what do? I have this addiction, and I need to carry it on and continue with it, or should I listen to God and stop? Or maybe it's my marriage and it's in trouble, and there's somebody else that seems more appealing. Should I go that way or should I not? Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you don't even understand this stuff, and you don't have God to help you through it, and you've got a decision to make. And Satan, I guarantee you, is telling you, don't do that. You don't need God. Really? God said he would forgive you? That's what Satan's telling you. But you need to believe in God. You need to believe in him, trust in him, seek him out, and accept him as your Savior. Maybe that's the choice you're faced with this morning. But whatever it is, and I know they're out there because I know you, and I know what I've experienced in my life and the decisions I've made that I've had to pay consequences for ever since. And so I know that hurts, and I know it's hard. But God is there with you. He promises you that, A, if you confess, he will forgive you. And B, he'll be with you as you struggle through and work through those consequences. All we have to do is turn our eyes to Jesus.
In the light.
We just pour out to you our love and our thankfulness that you are a God who forgives. Lord, decisions are hard, life is hard, and we make poor choices. But Lord God, you've promised to forgive us for those choices. And more than that, you've promised to be with us as we work through and live through those consequences. So we thank you for that, and we pray today that as we go forth from here, that we will seek your word, seek your wisdom, seek your counsel, trust in you, and make better choices in our life. And then give you all the glory in your name, I pray.